All right. Every journey has an ending, and we are here. We have both now seen Halloween H4O. Actually, it's just called Halloween.
That's a pretty good title, though.
It is. So the new Halloween that just came out, obviously, we're talking about everything in it. So if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert right now.
Yeah, turn back.
You should have turned back a long time ago.
I should have turned back a long time ago.
Laurie Strode comes to her final confrontation with Michael Myers, maybe. The masked figure who has haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago. Say what you want about Halloween and the whole series. The thing's still going 40 years later.
That's pretty impressive.
And again, never gone out of theaters. It's always been in theaters.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
But they do skip all the sequels.
They have destroyed all of them. Like when H2O came around, they kept Halloween 2. Not this time. Halloween 2 doesn't exist, which means the big twist of 2, where they were brother and sister, does not exist. Michael Myers and Laurie Strode, no longer related in this movie.
And that somehow slipped by me. Like, I knew what you were talking about. The scene, I knew exactly.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just a throwaway line. And nope. I didn't take any credit. It wasn't, like, in the back of my head, like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Those two are no longer brother and sister.
Didn't connect the dots.
Michael's just a weirdo that was stalking her and her babysitter friends.
That really turns the whole movie on its head. Like,
kinda, yeah. He's just some guy.
I like it more than that. I like that more.
You like it more?
I do like that more.
Okay. We're coming up to the 40th anniversary of the murders in the movie.
1978.
These two podcasters are doing like a crime thing, sort of like Serial and like Making a Murderer, that type of thing.
They're English, right?
Yeah.
They're from a very, very long ways away.
They're doing this thing and they have Michael's mask and they want to take it back to Michael and they want to get an interview with Michael Myers.
Now, that was absurd.
That scene's ridiculous.
That was out of control.
The whole insane asylum that he's at is...
Like, I get it.
Crazy.
He holds up the mask, trying to get Michael to say something.
Yeah, and everybody's freaking out around him.
Everyone around him,
all the nutty people, which I don't know why they really would.
The circus is going nuts.
I mean, he's only done a killing spree once.
Yeah,
according to this movie,
he's killed 5 people.
Yeah, that's it. It's weird, and Michael's standing there in the middle of this like yard kind of
checkerboard.
Yeah,
which goes back on all of everything we've been saying, playing checkers.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And he's not wearing a mask. You don't really see his face. You see like the side of it. He's clearly an old man, which he should be.
You can tell he looks like Tobin Bell.
But it's weird. It takes stuff away, don't you think?
Yeah, like, it really does.
He's an old man. I mean.
He's a 50-year-old man at this point.
No, he's older. He'd be older than that. He'd be...
Well, no. If 78, he'd be like 46.
Yeah, no.
Well, no, because it'd no, be, he'd be almost 60. On.
He'd either be almost 60 or in his 60s.
Yeah, you have to add on from, 78, 40.
Because he was 6 when it first happened in 63.
Yeah, so out of control, man.
Yeah, I know. It takes away... As much as...
He should be frail at this point.
As much as the zombies took the mystery of Michael Myers away,
Yeah. This
is supposed to be the original guy. It's like, I don't want to know that he's an old man.
Yeah.
And he's without his mask for quite a while. You never really get like a clear shot of his face.
No.
You can tell he's got the scar from when Laurie stabbed him with the clothes hanger.
He's going gray.
He's going bald, actually.
Going bald.
but when they show the mask, when they hold it up, and if you've seen previews... You get a clue of this.
Yeah,
the mask is deteriorated a little bit. It's aged. Like,
mm-hmm. It
looks like it has wrinkles.
Yeah.
And at first, I really liked that look. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, would it have wrinkles?
Masks don't wrinkle.
I feel like it would just, like, fall apart.
Unless they, like, there's an explanation for it. You could come up with something.
But yeah.
They didn't, and they just kind of let it go.
So that's strange. And then it hits like when they show up the mask and they're yelling, Michael, look at us, talk to us.
Say something.
And he's like, no, I'm not gonna.
He doesn't say that.
He's like a toddler.
He gestures. That.
He gestures, yeah. And everybody else is like, oh my God, it's the mask.
The circus goes nuts.
The opening credits hit, which I thought were awesome.
Opening credits were fantastic.
It's a deflated. The music is redone by John Carpenter again. Yep. He's a producer and he does the music again. Well, he works with the music. He didn't do the whole thing, but
right.
His new remix version of the theme song is kind of darker, even
the
pumpkin's deflated and it starts to just get bigger again and it, like saying, "Uh-oh, Michael's back."
The series comes back from the dead.
Yeah, which it was dead.
Oh,
I mean, so much of it's
done. So after zombie, holy cow.
After that, we meet up with Laurie Strode, now, 57, I suppose?
Ish, yeah.
And she's basically Sarah Connor from the Terminator movies.
Pretty much.
She's got guns on her arms and billion guns in her house.
Yeah, her house is like a fortress.
It is. It's a, and she's like a Unabomber almost.
It's
like
Home Alone on
steroids. No one talks to her. She's got a horrible relationship with her daughter, who is not Jamie Lloyd, which again makes me sad. And she barely has a relationship with her granddaughter.
Do they just gloss? Yeah, they'd have to. Josh Hartnett didn't happen.
Nope, he didn't exist either. This is basically Halloween H2O again.
Yeah.
And they erased the movie that erased the previous movies. That's how messed. This is why I wanted to do this series.
Like, I knew.
Because it's such a weird franchise.
I knew going in that they erased a bunch of it. I didn't think they erased Halloween 2.
All
of,
yeah, but even 2. 2's gone.
Like,
mm-hmm.
How is he such a big menace?
So apparently he was arrested after he got shot 6 times and fell. He would have been arrested right around then.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he did disappear, or if he did, they caught up with him shortly after. They did refilm. They were going to refilm that ending.
Oh.
And show him get arrested.
That'd be cool.
But they didn't want to like stomp over John Carpenter's movie at all. They didn't want to redo it. And they didn't want to recast a Loomis and do digital effects to make his face. And
yeah.
But speaking of Loomis, there is a there's a newer
new Loomis,
which is actually said.
Yeah, Laurie's like, oh, you're the new Loomis.
I don't even remember the doctor's name.
I don't either. I just saw the movie.
We'll get into him a little bit later.
He's insignificant.
He is completely, and there's a huge twist.
Yeah,
that goes with him.
He's pretty well insignificant for most of the movie.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
It's not Dr. Wynn. I remember that.
No,
much.
It's close. So we meet up with Lori, and she's like I said, she's got daughter issues. She's got granddaughter issues. The granddaughter wants to be closer to her.
Yep.
But the mom's like, we don't want anything to do with her because Lori's been crazy ever since her friends got butchered, which she would be.
And she got chased through a house for like 5 seconds.
But unlike H2O, she didn't run away. She stayed in Haddonfield. Yeah. She's still an alcoholic.
Is she still in Haddonfield?
Yeah.
She's like outside.
She's like outside of it, but I mean.
Yeah, her house isn't like in a neighborhood.
No, but she is. She's still Laurie Strode. She didn't change her name.
Yeah.
She's not a principal this time.
Some weird boarding school.
But I mean, other than that, this movie is very similar to H2O.
It is, yeah.
It follows a lot of the same type of thing. I don't mind her granddaughter.
No, she's fine.
Her friends are okay.
I didn't like her boyfriend.
I didn't like him, and I didn't like his friend.
Oh, the dude that looks like the Bash brother from Mighty Ducks?
Yes. Who looks like Foggy from the same guy.
The same guy,
from Daredevil. If it's not his brother, I would be very, very shocked.
Absolutely.
They're annoying and you just want them to die.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was going to be like that with her blonde friend, which I can't remember her name.
Vicky,
sure. And her boyfriend, who's very annoying in the beginning, but I ended up liking him.
Dave, I believe his name is.
They follow the... Probably. That seems very generic.
I'm pretty sure.
So, and actually, Vicky carries on the babysitter trend of the original movie.
Can we get to the kid?
the kid she's babysitting?
That kid.
Everybody
is awesome.
Loves that kid.
Julian, I believe his name was.
He's pretty funny. He's got the comic relief.
That's very much Danny McBride's influence.
See, and I had heard this movie's funny, and I didn't really think it was funny other than that kid.
Oh, I laughed hard. Well, just the kid, I guess.
Yeah, but I heard, like, I think Lori's son-in-law is supposed to be funny, but I didn't laugh at him. His lines reminded me of Rob Zombie's movie.
Yeah, he wasn't
movie,
funny at
actually.
All.
No, not at all. The new characters are all right. They're not horrible. Before we get too far into
Boyfriend.
The night that Michael returns,
mm-hmm.
Return of Michael Myers Part 2.
Return of the Curse of Michael Myers.
We still got those pesky podcasters. They go to try to talk to Lori, and she's like, she does it for money, but
$3,000.
They don't get anywhere with her, really, and...
They like insult her, kind of.
Yeah, and they try to have her see things from Michael's perspective, I think.
Yeah, like,
and she's not
just
having
meet
that.
With Michael and get it all over with.
Yeah, they want to have a face to face.
No way, man.
And she's like, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard."
He tried to kill me.
Michael's going to be transferred again.
Yeah.
At that this night.
Yep.
And I think that's why they're doing all these interviews. And so they leave to go. I don't know wherever they're. Going to record.
I don't know where they were going.
And in that time, Michael, somehow, we don't really know how, he's going to be transferred. Lori goes to watch it happen and is kind of crying. Like, she's going to kill Michael. That's her plan, I believe.
She wanted to make sure everything went okay.
Yeah, but she had a
gun.
From
my perspective.
So I was trying to figure out if she was going to kill herself or if she was going to kill Michael.
Oh, well, I mean, protection, obviously.
Yeah. And everything seems fine. Then we cut away to something else. I don't remember exactly what it is, but the bus crashes. All the inmates of the crazy town.
Yep, crazy town.
They're wandering around just like in the first movie, except we don't meet up with them through the Loomis character, because Loomis's character was on the bus.
Yeah.
But these, a father and son.
Going hunting.
I love these people. The kid is amazing. He just wants to be a dancer.
He wants to dance.
He wants
Daddy.
To do ballet.
All he wants to do is dance.
And the dad's trying to get him to be like a hunter. And
they're going to hunt.
It's so funny.
In the middle of the night.
It's such a weird scene.
It's so dumb.
It's one of my favorite moments in the entire series. It's
awful.
It's so weird.
It's so bad, dude.
And they come across this. The dad goes to check on everything. We don't exactly know what ends up with him
other than he's
dead. I think they find him, though, don't they? Doesn't the kid see him?
Is he the dude with his head pointing straight up?
Yeah, I think so. And the kid goes to see, finds the dad dead, and is like, oh my God, what's going on? Meanwhile, Michael, Mr. I've always known how to drive, steals the car. Goes back to Haddonfield, and the kid goes on the bus.
I hate that he can drive.
Yeah, he drives again.
I hate it.
And he's even better now. And the kid calls the cops. We meet the new sheriff, which I really like him. Will Patton, I believe, is his name. He's in, like, Armageddon, and he fits in. Again, I like the way they do police officers in these movies for some reason.
Yeah, he did well.
He finds the new Loomis character, and he's alive.
The kid shot him.
Yeah, the kid shoots him. On accident.
The kid is going through the bus looking for his dad, presumably. The new Loomis jumps out and is like, don't shoot me! And the kid, pop.
All right, so then we meet the cops. They come to investigate everything. And the sheriff meets the new Loomis-y character. He's like, he's going to go back to Haddonfield. Very simple. Like, he's a dime store version of Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, he's not great.
And speaking of Dr. Loomis, we get a new... Some new dialogue from him in an old recording. It's not really Donald Pleasance, but whoever they got sounds just like him.
I thought it was.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does. It sounds just like him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And him from then, not even
For sure.
The later ones where he's all cranky. And then the podcasters are getting ready to leave, and they go to a gas station that looks very similar to the one from 4.
Of course they go to a gas
station. From Halloween 4. And Michael's there in the truck. You can see him. Looking at the guys like, oh, I know them.
Yep.
But you don't really see his face. He's blurred out. He goes in before they do and kills the gas station guy to steal his clothes, much like in 4. And then the lady goes to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, this scene seems familiar, which I saw in the trailer. I'm like,
this a couple times, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And it's very similar to the H2O scene.
Yep.
And the other guy... The guy podcasters, the guy and a girl, and the guy notices something's going on or something happened and there's blood and everything.
Heard the scream.
Yeah, he's like, what is going on? Well, in the bathroom, Michael's in there and he drops the dude's teeth, which is a creepy scene.
Yeah,
and you went with Brittany.
Yeah.
How did she do in that scene? Because you said she had a horrible time during this movie.
She most of the time her eyes were covered.
Uh-huh.
She had left at one point. She doesn't do the slashers very well.
Yeah, and I didn't find it scary at all. I could see why you would, I suppose.
After seeing the 10 beforehand.
I know.
Like, I could point out exactly what was going to happen when, and I was trying. I was like, watch out, here he comes. Yeah. And there he was. Didn't help.
Well, when Michael's scaring the bejesus out of this lady in a stall, the other guy comes in.
The teeth drop was messed up.
Yeah, it was gross. The other guy comes in, and then Michael... like destroys him.
Oh man, he gets
like stomps his face in, doesn't he?
He gets beat against the stall wall, and
then after that's over,
oh man, it's bad.
He kills the lady, and then he goes to their trunk and grabs his mask and puts it on. Pretty good shot. It's a pretty iconic moment
not
of
bad.
Him putting the mask back on.
Music hits.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. And then he's on his way back to Haddonfield, where the teens are going to a dance. Some of them, one of them is babysitting, the awesome kid that we were talking about.
Vicky's babysitting Julian,
yep,
I believe.
Julian's got some sass to him.
He's got a mouth.
He's got some attitude.
Reminds me of Ronnie from Role Models.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and Michael gets to town in a scene very similar to Halloween 2.
Very.
There's trick-or-treaters going, one bumps into him, just like Tommy Doyle does in the first movie.
Yep.
And then Michael does this weird like turn and goes into this garage where this lady that looks just like the old lady from Halloween 2.
Uh-huh.
And he grabs a hammer, goes into her house, bludgeons her, grabs a knife.
You see the aftermath of it.
Yeah, you do. And then you see...
There's a baby crying.
There is a baby crying.
She walks...
This is a moment I referred to yesterday.
Oh, okay.
When we were talking about... he made a decision in one of them, and I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
This is a moment that the director said he even regrets having in the movie, because they've always established, and they did very much so even in this one even more, he doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't have a thought process.
Right.
He just kills.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill a baby.
Right.
He stands over it, and he thinks, like, oh, maybe this is...
I thought that
they're
going to
go
toast.
All the way.
I thought that baby... Well, I mean, he beat the snot out of that kid.
Yeah.
The dancing hunter.
Yeah.
Beat the snot out of him, bashed his head against a window.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I'm thinking this baby's gonzo.
Uh-huh. No, he just walks away.
Just walks.
Which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were relieved, but it's not very Michael Myers-ish.
Nah.
They kind of went against what they had already established. That
maybe it's a nod to Boo.
Maybe.
I guess.
Oh, yeah, That's what we were talking about. That's right.
It could very well be just, I know your movie, Mr. Rob Zombie. Yeah. And then he just walks away.
And then he walks around to another house. There's a lady in there by herself, very similar to the other girl.
Oh, man.
Except unlike in Halloween 2, where he jumps up from behind a chair, he just goes and offs her.
Oh, yeah. She gets it good, too.
Yeah.
Bounces her head off the windowsill.
And that I didn't really like. Like... All these killings that are happening right here are not very Michael Myers-ish.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them.
There was really no
reason. But there's really no reason for them in the first one either, other than Laurie was at his house.
He saw them, yeah.
Yeah.
He saw Laurie. Mm-hmm. He saw Laurie with the friends.
But these people, he's just like going up and like...
These are just random
houses. Kill. I didn't really like that.
Nah, not great.
I didn't enjoy it. But all the scenes with him are pretty tense. I mean...
Yeah.
And then let's see what... then... We go to the babysitter and her boyfriend's there. They're going to smoke some things they're not supposed to be smoking.
Alakazam, I believe.
In the
reference.
The kid knows what they're doing. And she's like, that's not what we're doing. And she's like, you need to go to bed. Well, he comes down screaming. He's like, there's a man walking up there. And it's like, what? We know what's going on.
His door closes and you can see, like, the visual from him.
Yeah.
You can see Michael walk by his door.
Yeah.
Freaked me out.
Which is weird. Like, that, the whole part was very strange to me. But it's effective. It worked. Yeah. And she goes up to try to close the door. It's in the preview. You can see it in the trailer. She opens the door and Michael's there. And she actually gets away right there.
Yeah, kind of.
And he kind of chases her around the house. And her boyfriend's out in the garage on whoever's house it is.
Revving a motorcycle.
So he can't hear the screaming. And she gets killed. And then the boyfriend goes up. We don't actually see him get killed.
No.
We just find him afterwards stabbed against a door. Meanwhile, Lori's like, Michael's going to come back. He's going to come back.
Yep.
And she's trying to warn everybody and no one's listening except for the sheriff. He knows what's going on. He has a pretty good idea because he's got this new Loomis character with.
And the sheriff was the first one on the call.
Yep, that's right.
Back in 70.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's what they were going to film.
Yeah.
Was a younger version of him finding everything.
That's cool.
And it's just kind of some kills from here on out. Like the rest of Lori's granddaughter's friends. There's a really annoying guy that gets a little sleazy with her and she abandons him in a pretty effective scene.
That's the Bash Brother.
Yeah. In the backyard of this house where the light goes on and off and Michael gets closer and closer.
He thought it was like the neighbor or whatever.
Yeah. And nope.
It's motion sensing lights and the lights pop on and Michael's there. Lights are off. He's gone. Lights back on. He's like, even closer.
Yep.
He was messed up.
And then once he's dead, the girl goes back to see how things are, see if he's all right. Because he was like screaming for her.
Yeah.
And she thought it was a joke at first, like they always do.
Uh-huh.
And nope, not at all.
He's on a fence.
He's on a fence. And then Michael sees her and he's like, oh, here's another one. I'm just going to go get her. And little does he know, that's actually Laurie Strode's granddaughter. And Laurie at some point actually sees Michael and shoots at him.
Yeah.
I think that's before this happens.
It's during this.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't. It gets a little muddled. But then the girl finds the sheriff and the new Loomis.
Yep.
Kind of like Jamie Lloyd does in Halloween 4.
Yep.
And but then there's this twist that happens where Michael shows up and the sheriff's like shoots him. And Michael's, we think, maybe dead. We know he's not dead, but they think he's maybe dead.
Yeah.
The sheriff has a pretty good idea. Like, he's probably not dead. The
sheriff knows what's going on.
And he goes to check on Michael. And then what happens? Oh, he'll turn from the doctor, the not Loomis character, is actually bad. And I think he's bad because he wants to understand the serial killers. He wants to understand.
He wants to know what it feels like. He wants to get in their head.
Yeah.
So he takes his sweet pen knife and offs the sheriff.
It makes me very sad because I like the sheriff.
At this point, they have Lori's granddaughter in the back of the cop car, so she can't get out.
And then my least favorite part in this movie, the new Loomis puts on Michael's mask for some reason.
Puts on Michael's mask and stands up in front of the car so Lori's granddaughter can see.
Yeah, it's just, it's so weird.
I liked it.
And then he puts Michael, now unmasked, possibly dead, but probably not, in the back seat of the car with the granddaughter, which is pretty tense. Mm-hmm. I liked that part.
Mm-hmm.
He's not dead, obviously.
He's waking up at some point.
But it doesn't really work. Like, for me, I didn't really like it. Like, it was, like, the way that he came, like, he wakes up, they didn't really do anything with it.
No, he just kind of twitches himself.
He kind of twitches, and then the guy pulls over to, you know, talk to Michael for whatever reason.
Nah, she says that she heard him say something.
Oh, yeah, because he wants Michael to talk.
Yeah.
He wants to finally talk to Michael.
And she's mind games in him, saying, oh, yeah, he said something to me before he killed my buddy.
He's like, we'll pull over and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
Who pulls over?
Yeah. Pulls over. And then Michael, like, bursts out of the car or something.
Kicks the back of the seat and bashes him against the...
Yeah, and kills the doctor, like, stomps the crap out of him.
Stomps his head, and there was bits everywhere.
Yeah, it was gross. Then puts the mask on.
Very, very gross.
And Lori's granddaughter gets out and then just runs through the woods. Because at this point, she's very close to Lori's house.
Yeah, they were taking her to... he was going to Lori's house for something.
Yeah.
To meet... He wanted Michael and Lori to meet up.
Yep.
Yep.
It was like a bait thing. And
Not Dr. Loomis wanted them to meet.
And Lori's got her daughter with her, who's an adult, obviously.
Who's that actor?
Judy Greer, that's who it is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Judy Greer is the mom. And
she's in Transformers, isn't she?
She's not in Transformers. Actually, she might be, I don't know.
She's probably in Transformers. Everyone's in Transformers.
Everybody's in there at some point. So they're all locked up in Lori's kind of weird house that she's basically made as a giant Michael Myers trap. She's going to get him there. You think it's there to protect her.
Yeah, the whole storyline with her is that she taught her daughter how to fight from a very young age, and her daughter resented her for that, for those very reasons, because the house was, like, she thought it was a cage.
Yeah.
She thought the house was a cage. She was, like, caging herself away from the outside world because Michael Myers is there. It's definitely a cage.
Cage for Michael Myers.
No question, it's a cage.
So they're all locked in. Michael shows up in that scene in the trailer where he kind of bursts his arms through the door to strangle Lori. She gets out of it, obviously.
Well, yeah, clearly.
And there's a really cool, like, cat and mouse game where Michael's somewhere in the house, Lori's somewhere in the house.
Yeah.
And you don't know where.
Yeah.
And they end up in this creepy mannequin room. Like, every room that she goes, she checks these rooms, and when they're clear, she locks them up, and, like, these bars come down.
She hits a button, and, like, a cage door comes
down. Yeah, and so it makes sure he can't go in there.
Yeah.
And the last room that she checks, obviously he's going to be in there. I don't know if you noticed this. This is what I was going to say earlier. A lot of references to the original movie. It's the exact same stage as the bedroom in the first movie.
I mean, you could tell with the closet.
The closet's the same.
Yeah. I couldn't tell anything else. It was dark.
She checks the closet. There's some good jump scares there, but he's not in there. No. He's hiding, I think, behind one of the mannequins or something.
Yeah, he was, like, off screen.
You know where he's going to be. I mean, but they stretch it out for a really long time.
Yeah. There's blood everywhere because she blew his fingers off.
Yeah. He knocks her out of the window, and he goes to look down, and she's not there.
Yep.
Just like the ending of Halloween.
Yeah, he pounces her out of window, looks down, sees her, goes to turn and find the other two that are in the house.
Yeah.
Turns back, Lori's gone.
Yep.
Ah, sweet.
Where is she going to be? And then they have a little bit of a fight downstairs. And then...
Like, there's an island in her kitchen that moves out to, it's like, got a like secret a, basement.
Mm-hmm. It's like a panic room.
Yeah.
And
he busts through that.
And at this point, Lori's granddaughter shows up a little bit before that.
Yeah.
She gets downstairs with Lori and the mom, and then Lori goes out to find Michael and basically bring him in.
Right.
And then Lori's daughter has this, like, kind of like power moment.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
Yeah, she's like, help, help, help. And it's just to lure Michael down.
She's like, Mom, I can't do it. I can't do it. So he steps forward and she goes, gotcha.
Yeah.
Boom.
Shoots him, and then he falls down the stairs.
That is cool.
And then they run up the stairs, so then Michael's trapped in this cage, and...
Well, okay, so...
What have I missed?
Lori stabs him.
Yep.
Gets him down the steps.
Yep.
The The daughter and the granddaughter run up the steps. Lori flips some switch, and like from the floor, like horizontal to the hole, bam, like bars just shoot out, like spike things to lock them in. And then the trap house goes on.
Yeah, like all the gas is coming out. And
Every room has a pipe with gas and flame.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire house just goes up.
Yep. And that's where it basically ends. I mean, they leave the house.
It cuts back to the basement. No Michael Myers to be found.
Yeah, you don't see him.
Flaming basement. No Michael Myers.
And that's the thing that bothers me. The whole movie is she wants to end Michael Myers. She wants to stop it. Like in H2O, she takes steps to make sure he's dead.
Yeah.
Doesn't really happen. She cuts off the wrong guy's head. But in this, she just locks him in a cage and sets the house on fire.
Thinking that it's going to get him.
It's such a flat ending. Plus, we've burned Michael Myers to death twice before.
No, we haven't. We erased those movies.
Shut up. They've done this before.
Nope, this is the first time, Jay.
I mean like the people that are making the movie.
First time.
Ugh.
We only watched two movies to do this.
That's why it drives me nuts. Like they've already done this before.
Yeah, it's
like the last scene is really, really great, like leading to it.
Yeah.
It's full of tension and it is actually kind of scary.
Right.
And you do see Lori and the daughter and the granddaughter all leaving together, I think in the back of a truck, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the daughter's like holding a knife, and I'm wondering, like, are they going to do something with her? I doubt it.
No.
I think it's just protection. I think now she's the fighter like Lori was.
Yep.
But I don't know, like, when the movie was over, I was like, I've seen this movie before. It's a Frankenstein version of the entire series.
Yeah, yeah.
That they've worked so hard to erase. They just bring those scenes back, and I'm like, why?
Pretty much, yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Did you stay for the after credits?
I did, and there's not an after credits. It's just him breathing at the end.
It's like Cloverfield.
My wife wanted to stab me when we stayed. I'm like, you guys don't have to stay. I don't even know what this is going to be.
Right.
And then it was that, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
I looked it up and left.
Yeah, it was. I kind of wanted to do that. I figured if there was an end credit, it was just saying he's alive.
Yeah. Which they basically were
doing that. Yeah. And guess what? This movie made $1 billion.
Oh,
so
yeah. We're getting another one.
There's going to be another one. There's going to be another. Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be back again. Because this one, I don't think this one's much better than H2O. Like,
it's not.
It's kind of an alternate version of the same movie, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very similar.
It was very strange having Lori be like, she was basically the killer for the second half of the movie.
Yeah. And it's funny because in the comic books that they did before Resurrection, she became Michael Myers.
Oh,
in the comics.
Yikes.
Yeah. Because Michael was dead after. So I don't remember where the comics were in the series. It doesn't matter. They don't count. But
no, yeah, obviously. Erased.
I don't know. I thought this movie just seemed like an imitation again of the first movie. It didn't seem like its own thing that I was hoping for it to be. It was a very basic.
At the very least, it wasn't shot for shot like Zombies was.
No, yeah. And I would say, but it's still, like somebody asked me, I'm like, it's still one of the better sequels.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, it is. I still don't think it's that great, but it falls kind of in the middle. Like, I like it about as much as 4 and about as much as H2O. Number 1 is still number 1 for me, and it always will be.
You're just incorrect. For sure. You're just wrong.
So we have now watched 11 films of Halloween.
Yeah, we did.
What are your thoughts altogether of the whole thing?
Awful, Jay.
They're not great.
They're not good.
I didn't enjoy this round of going through them. And in a couple years, I'll do it again.
You're a madman.
Yeah. I might have some mental problems to keep going back to this. But I mean, I still love them, even if they're not good. Most of them are not good.
They're just not great movies at all.
What do you think is the worst movie out of this whole series?
Zombie 2.
That's my least favorite out of all of them.
Zombie 2 and 6.
5 would be... 5 and 6 are interchangeable for me as far as the second worst.
Okay.
See, like best for me is Halloween. Best for you is H2O.
H2O.
Still?
Still.
Weird. Well, what have we learned from this? We like to waste our time?
We like to waste our time.
Well, hopefully you've enjoyed listening. Hopefully soon there will be another one. It's not going to be horror and it's not going to be this long.
Let's pick better ones.
I believe the rough plan is right now, in December, we tackle Home Alone. Ooh. 1 through 5.
Ah!